Hey folks, this is Kevin. Just a few words before we start. Risk is looking for advertisers. You could be advertising your stuff right here, right now. The thing of it is that a lot of business people are still really just learning how powerful this podcasting thing has become and continues to become. Our numbers just keep going up consistently. Unlike in radio or television, you get to see those numbers. You can see who's downloading and where, how much. This is an opportunity to reach hundreds of thousands of people. And podcast listeners listen very closely. You have their undivided attention. So if you're interested in advertising with us, it could be here on the podcast, could also be at our live show, or it could be on our website. Contact us at kevin@risk-show.com. And now let me explain something amazing that is happening. We have this groundswell of interest now from college students who want Risk to come to their schools, and we love it. Here's how they're doing it. These students are creating Facebook events with names like, I want to see Risk at Emerson University. I want to see Risk at Humber College, BU, Wesleyan. If you go on Facebook, check out those groups. If you go to one of those schools, say you're going to attend. Like it. And if you want to get something like that going for your own school, write to us at tour@risk-show.com. That's about it. Now here's the show. Hello, kids. This is Extra Risk. This is one of those episodes where we give you just a little bit more of the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. I'm Kevin Allison, and today we're going to take a peek at our storytelling school. We call it the Story Studio. You can find it at thestorystudio.org. Teaching at this school has changed my life. People come in from all walks of life, and to hear them share their life experiences is just, I mean, it's about as great an honor and a rewarding experience as I can imagine. So you may know that we do this one-on-one coaching over Skype with people. We also do one-day workshops here in New York. We do corporate workshops customized for, you know, teams that work together. But the biggest thing we do is our 9-week workshop here in New York, and at the end of that one, you put on a show for friends and family. So we're going to hear a recent student, Dustin Diodato, telling a story at our last student show. Dustin is just a lovely guy, as you will soon hear. He actually hosts his own podcast. He co-hosts it with Dan McInerney. It's called The Comedy Nerds, so check that out. Dustin's a stand-up in his own right, and here he is with a story we call Bone Crusher.
When I was a kid, I took bowling very seriously. Incredibly seriously. See, my parents got divorced when I was very little, and my mom needed something to do with me on Tuesdays, so she put me in a bowling league. And I was immediately super psyched about it. And my parents were very supportive. They got me all the bowling accoutrement. I was set. They took me to get my own bowling ball. And I knew exactly the one I wanted. It was clear with a skull inside. Of course, it turns out that they don't sell that at every bowling alley. So I got the blue one with sparkles. I was like, okay, well, I can customize it though, because you put your name on the bowling ball. So when the guy asked me what name I wanted, I said, bone crusher. And my mom was like, yeah, nobody really knows you as bone crusher. Being as I was 7. Plus, you pay by the letter. So we compromised and went with Dustin. I had the bowling glove. I didn't know what it did then, and I don't know what it does now. But I had it, so it made me better. And I had the bowling shoes for way too long. Because I got them in the end of 2nd grade, and I had them till like 4th grade. And if you know anything about little kids and their feet, they grow a lot. And it hurt. But there's some sense of pride that comes from that moment when the guy behind the counter says, hey, what size shoes do you want? And you could just turn and say, I got it. I'm on this. So I had all that. And at the end of 2nd grade, I discovered you could have a bowling birthday party. I was like, yes, combines 3 things that I love. Birthday parties for me, presents, and crushing my friends at some sort of activity. And I could, because I was good at bowling, and they were awful. I bowled like a 115, which for adults is bad, but for 7-year-olds, pretty damn good. 2nd grade, bowling party. 3rd grade, bowling party. 4th grade was going to be the best one yet, because in 4th grade, they invented rock and roll bowling. They may have invented it prior, but I discovered it in 4th grade. And basically what it was bowling, but with rock music. So it was going to be good. And a bowling party is basically 3 games of bowling, awful pizza, and really good french fries. And then presents. So today was the day for my 4th grade bowling party. So I guess I was about 10. And at the time, my mother and I lived with my grandparents. And we were all going to go to the party together that started at 3 o'clock. But my mother and her boyfriend said, hey, you know what? Why don't we leave a little bit early and we get to the party? And I was like, great. I'm all on board with that because that means more bowling. By the time everybody else gets there, I'm in a groove and I win by more. So we get in the car and I immediately realize we are not heading towards the bowling alley. And I only knew where like 3 places on the planet were, which is basically my school, my dad's house, and the bowling alley. And we were not going to any of them. So I start to get a little like nervous. And eventually my mom pulls over and gets out of the car and leaves me with her boyfriend, John. And John was kind of a nice guy, but moody. And he was one of those people that called everybody champ or bud. So like, even if he's being nice, he's kind of being a douche. You know, so there we were in the car. And anytime we had gone on these like rides to nowhere, I'd always ask my mom, hey, what are we doing? Where are we going? And her response was always, well, I'm putting down money for a gift for John, and eventually I'll pay off enough, and then I'll give him that gift. But today, John was in the car. So it couldn't be for him. And it was my birthday. Ergo, bowling ball with a skull inside for me. Pretty excited about it. Until I look at my watch, which I just bought for $12 of my own money at the Greater Westchester County Fair. And it was a Transformer. It just came off as a little robot and it had arms. And I realized that my watch said that it was 2:45, meaning the party was going to start in 15 minutes. And I started freaking out. So I started bugging John. And I was like, John, hey, you know, what's going on? And he's like, champ, don't worry about it. We'll be there in no time. I wait couple more minutes, she's not coming back. I start bugging him, and he's like, buddy, it'll be okay. All of a sudden, now there's 10 minutes to go. She's still not back. I'm freaking out. I'm yelling at him. I look at my watch, and it's 3 o'clock. The party has started, and I no longer have any patience. So I'm finally like, John, what is the deal? What is going on? Why are we not at my party? And he whips around, and he says, look, you want to know what's going on? Your mom's buying drugs, all right? When she goes on these little rides, She buys drugs. She does drugs, and I do drugs. We do drugs. You happy now? Now you know. And I was stunned, as you would expect. I wasn't mad or sad as much as I was confused. Because all I knew about drugs was that bad people did them. And my mom did them. So my mom couldn't be bad, because good is a defining characteristic of mom. So I knew everything was different, but I couldn't make it make sense. So eventually she got back in the car, and at that point it was about 3:15, and I didn't say a word. I just sat there as we drove back, until at one point I just said, "Hey, what am I supposed to tell everybody?" She said, "I don't know, tell them whatever." And I was like, "No, what am I supposed to tell everybody? We're late to my birthday party. I'm the birthday boy. They're going to notice." She said, "I don't care." And that's when I got mad, because she had done this. This was her fault, and she was taking no responsibility. When we got there, we had already missed the first two games of bowling, and everybody ran up to me. I basically said we got stuck in traffic, which was total crap, because we live 10 minutes away, even coming from the exact same direction as everybody else. But 10-year-olds are stupid, and they don't know, so it totally worked. I bowled the third game of bowling, and don't worry, I won. Bowled an 85, which was below my average, but enough to beat those kids. Then we did the pizza thing, we did the french fry thing. And I was like, okay, maybe we could salvage this day. Maybe we'll break even. I'll still get the bowling ball with the skull inside. It'll work itself out. So I open up all the gifts, and I get to the one for my mom. And it's a boombox. I never really asked for one. I never really wanted one, per se. But I guess it was kind of a cool gift. You know, music. It was whatever. And eventually I kind of grew to like it. Because I had the freedom of playing whatever music I wanted. 3 months later, I came home going out with my grandparents, and my mom had stolen all the TVs from the house, all my grandmother's jewelry, all the money I had for an allowance, and the boombox, and then disappeared for 9 months. When she came back, she never apologized or said anything or never went to rehab. The only time that I saw her be apologetic in any way, or feel any sense of anything, was last year when I went to her and I told her that I'd been diagnosed with something called retinitis pigmentosa, which is a genetic disease that will eventually leave me blind. And I could see it occur to her that 9 months of drinking and smoking and doing heroin while she was pregnant may have actually had a consequence on somebody other than her. My doctor told me that in actuality, there was no connection and it probably didn't do anything, but I've never told her that. And I'm not going to. And on a side note, a little while back, I bowled a 185. So I think with a little bit of practice, I may be able to get back into form.
Speaking of the truth, I like to hear them once in a while. And I'll even listen to all your vanity. Utter lies are like butterflies. They just both die in a couple of days. Yeah, show me all your proof. Put it right in front of my eyes. And I'll even listen to all your vanity. Utter lies are like butterflies. They just both die in a couple of days. And what what's in me and what's in you. We're just bricks on the floor, solid ground for standing when we kick down the door. And it leaves my heart room for expanding on you. It gets to me, but you don't have to wait for me, because I'm already yours.
That's it for this go-around, folks. This is David Garza, the gorgeous song called Butterflies. You can find him at davidgarza.com. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. We're at Risk Show. You can follow us on Twitter, also Risk Show. You can rate and comment on us at iTunes. You can donate to us. The sidebar on the right side of our website at risk-show.com where it says Keep Us Running. Listen, I am a dirt poor man, people, living in a ghetto of Queens, 45 minutes from Manhattan, with a roommate in a railroad apartment, two cats, using mattresses as a recording booth. I want to keep this running. I'll bet you want that too. All right, today's the day, folks. Take a risk.
Yeah, tell me about your life. I like to hear that story once time. Yeah, especially the part about your vanity. Utter lies are like butterflies. They just both die. Both die in a couple of days. They just both die in a couple of days.
Hey, folks, this is Kevin. Just a few...